This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and who you really are the thirst traps you don't post.
Too spooky, Barbara. Too spooky.
Hey, I'm Brandy Posey, and if you own snakes for Halloween this year, try going as someone who's not a fucking creep.
Yeah.
Take that, snake owners.
I'm Tess Barker, and as a kid, my mom called real spiders, quote, Halloween decorations, and let them live, in case anyone was wondering what the fuck is wrong with me.
Oh, God. And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hello. I almost just got really into the spider thing, forgot we had to keep introducing the show.
Yeah, dude. That was, and it still is going on in my mom's house. She gets excited if a big spider shows up around Halloween. She's like, this is so cool. What great timing. And she'll just let these gnarly ass black widows.
Ooh. Does she collect like Klansmen because she thinks they're ghosts? Like what?
Also, like she.
So it's just a yard decoration.
How ideal! It could kill you, but how cute!
I know.
The kids will love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then the rest of the year, it was because they would eat the other insects.
Yeah.
I know.
Very practical the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Spooky. Though.
Yeah, but like straight up excited to get a big spider on Halloween, and would not let us take it down.
It's one thing if it's like a daddy long leg. It's another thing if it's like a black widow that can like
that
fuck
can, like,
you up.
Oh yeah, I
yeah.
My mom recluse. Like black widows have always been at my mom's house. Like my what? Like a black widow will be there, and my mom will be like, "Oh, don't use the other front door. There's a black widow there." I'm like, "Then kill it."
Yeah, get rid of it.
Don't just not use the door. You can't just. I'm like, we have nieces.
I don't think I knew that they were real.
Not for long.
Because oh, that's still happening now. I thought this was like a when you were growing up thing.
Oh no,
continuous.
2018.
Very, very consistent. Give it up for her.
Yeah. Damn.
We did not have black widows in the East Coast, so I don't think I thought that they. I just like didn't know where they lived growing up. I was like, oh, it's another problem. That's not my problem I ever have to deal with.
Yeah.
And then moved out here and I was like, oh, I'm in the land of black widows now. Okay. High alert at all
it's
times.
Weird. It's
have
weird.
You seen one?
I mean, there's for sure some in the shed.
Yeah, there's definitely some
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. For sure.
No doubt about it.
Oh, God. Ah, we're in a, to the wall. I don't want to think about it.
We're in a shed full of spiders. Happy Halloween.
Okay, let's introduce our guest.
Officially.
She's a super funny comedian. She's part of the Facial Recognition Comedy Podcast and live show, Pallavi Ganalan.
Hey. Hi. Oh, my God. You said my name perfect.
Did I?
That felt so good.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, it was so, like, smooth. Ugh.
Yes.
I love
hell
that
yeah.
shit.
Oh, good. I mean, I thought I might fuck it up, so I'm glad I didn't.
No, it was perfect.
Oh,
hell yeah.
So great.
Fuck great job.
Barbara. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
What a celebration for the ages.
So how far out are we from Halloween right now?
We are about 2 weeks, but today is
No,
Halloween.
I mean, today's Halloween.
This is coming out.
Yes, this episode is on Halloween.
Okay. So do you think that any of us today have a Halloween costume at the beginning of the day?
No, absolutely
probably not.
Not me.
Probably not.
I have some ideas. Past me would have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
I
was hardcore
grown out
into
of it.
It.
Mm-hmm. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
And
I'm tired
poor.
And broke.
We don't have time.
Yeah.
I'm broke.
Yeah.
My wardrobe in college used to be half Halloween costumes, half what other people gave me because they felt bad for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do have a good collection of like hand-me-downs, though.
Yeah,
of,
me
you
too.
Know, costume stuff.
I used to be really into the day after Halloween shopping because like you could go to all the stores
That's
and
so
just
smart.
Get clearance stuff. So I'd have a lot of like I have a lot of like skeleton hand shirts
right.
and stuff like
but that.
But
that does get dangerous because that is the kind of shopping I do that I'm like, wow, I have way too much shit and half of it is from me thinking I needed this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wear a lot of skeletons.
Yeah.
They're kind of like leopard print. They're gonna go with
the black widows.
Yeah. They
think, yes. They think exactly. They already got you.
Yeah. She's already dead. It's fine.
Yeah, Yeah, I definitely, I'm a little sad to like not be as into Halloween as I used to be, because I used to think of a costume 6 months prior and like.
And then follow through on it.
And then follow through. And not, it wasn't always amazing, but it's usually like something funny that I thought, you know, whatever.
Same. Yeah. We also did like a lot of like random costumes throughout the year at my school because of like weird traditions and shit. So I just had all of these crazy things in my wardrobe that I would just like pull out randomly and then just be that idiot for the day.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's definitely gone away for sure. But you're in school still. Do you do that now? Probably not.
No, I just do comedy now. Like, I'm in a PhD program, but I just like leave and then go do comedy.
What are you getting your PhD in?
My department is biomedical engineering.
Wow,
cool. The research that I do is computational neuroscience. So my lab is like programming a model of the brain.
Whoa.
Interesting.
And what's like the application? I mean, there's, I'm sure, tons of applications for it. But
yeah, anytime you do anything, you create like a computational model. It just like eases, especially in biomedical engineering, it just like eases the process. Like that's the first step before dealing with cells. And then after that, it's like you put it in like mice or rats. And then after that, you do non-human primates. And then you do like humans, right? So it's like this pipeline. And if you are more efficient at the beginning, then you don't waste as much like resources later down the pipeline. So like we're dealing with the hippocampus, the rat hippocampus, and that deals with like memory, like conversion of short to long-term memory and all of these, and spatial memory and stuff. And if we have a good idea of like how it works, then we can like change some parameters and maybe like model what Alzheimer's is like, and then change some parameters and see what like a pharmaceutical would do to fix Alzheimer's, right? And then you can see like the effects of that. In this is like way long down the line, and it has to be very specific to that disease and everything.
Yeah.
But that's like the general idea of like why these models are valuable, because you can just like, you can predict what's going to happen and then have like a better target for like the actual pharmaceutical or whatever you're using to like treat the problem.
Wow.
Spooky. So you can cut out the, hopefully that you're getting more directly to the source before you actually start like using,
testing things.
Yeah. You use less monkeys. Things.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
All of this is always like a trigger point for a lot of people who like aren't in the sciences, like the use of animals and stuff, but it's all like, it's like very humane, and it's like, it is necessary. Everybody has benefited from these, you know, treatments and stuff that have happened, unfortunately, have to happen to these like animal models, but before you like get to humans, otherwise you're just like going crazy on people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think at least for me, like the thing I really take issue with is like testing for cosmetics. Cause I'm like, a medicine that's going to save a life, of course.
Yeah, you know?
Like a cosmetic, I'm like, we don't need that.
That's going to save like Kylie's life.
Yeah.
She's going to die without it.
She could be a millionaire or a billionaire. Yeah. Come on, you guys.
Man, I saw, this is a, so couldn't be further out the topic, but did you see Ashley S or whatever her name is from fucking Bachelor in Paradise is doing lip injection commercials?
What?
Good for her.
Anyway, sorry.
She knows exactly what is,
can we talk about lip injections? I feel like they're everywhere.
They are.
Yeah, I have some friends who've gotten them, and they're always like, oh my God, you're going to love it. And I'm like, that lip injections are like what people think of when they think of like shitty injections.
The bad
plastic
surgery.
It's like permanent Doug face.
Yeah. Can you always tell? Can you always tell when
someone
has it?
I feel like I can.
Or can you just tell the bad ones?
I think you can only tell the bad ones.
But I think that with all stuff.
I have friends that I like respect that I'm pretty sure have it. I've never asked.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this person wouldn't get a bad one and I can tell.
Well, but you don't know if you're going to get a bad one because it just is.
It's how your skin reacts.
I think it just sometimes it looks bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there are super rich people who have bad ones. Yeah. They didn't intend that.
But I think what happens too is it's very addictive.
Yeah. It's like tattoos.
It's like tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I think the first one does make you look better and no one notices it. And you just keep chasing that high.
It's so weird. I think it's crazy how like a lot of like the plastic surgeons that are like the Hollywood people or whatever, like have the plastic surgery. Like you want your hairstylist to have a cool hairstyle. But you don't want your plastic surgeon to just be getting plastic surgery all the time.
No,
like
but
you should be studying it. Like, what do you do? It's like crazy. They look ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess. To my mind, though, like I'm expecting that. Like, I guess I expect
it too now, but it's weird. It's still weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah, but I'm like, I guess if that, because like, why else would you become this if you weren't wanting to get free plastic surgery? Like, I expect
because you make money.
Like,
off
I expect
of it.
A tattooed guy to have or a tattoo artist to have a few too many tattoos. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I expect that you're a little addicted to it.
Yeah, but I feel like with a tattoo artist, you can, like I, there's something just off with plastic surgery because it's the skill.
Well, it's not
as
high risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can go, it can look bad.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. You just get the one face. Well, I feel like a lot of the time people are, like, chasing, so, like, once you get something bad, then too, you're trying to, like, chase how to fix it. And then you're just like, there's a drip over here. I got to put it. So you just keep trying to like fix it. And so
there's
it keeps getting.
There's a drip over here.
You know, it is. It's like a painting that you keep trying to fix.
Yeah. It keeps getting further and
like,
further away
like
from the goal.
Filters, but for real life.
Yeah. But then eventually you're that, you become that painting of the woman who is trying to like fix whatever that woman who's trying to
the
fix
Jesus
that.
The Jesus guy?
The Jesus painting.
Yeah,
that's what it
look
starts
like,
looking
yeah.
like.
Yeah. And it does actually.
Yeah.
She's like, I was just trying to help.
That's what the plastic surgeon says.
Did anything ever happen to her? Like, did she?
Probably not great stuff.
They were just like, she just tried to help. Moving on. Next news.
Was she a nun? Or was she just
a... She was just some lady, I thought. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sometimes when I need a laugh, I just look at that picture.
That's what they... So you have
that's
a fantasia,
like all
so
of
you can think
parents.
Of what that looks like.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You don't know
really?
At all?
No. What are you talking about?
I have to show it to you.
Okay. So this lady tried to restore a painting of Jesus, and it went as badly as you could possibly.
But it was like, I think we all loved it because we're all like, that's all our mom.
Yeah, yeah. First, this is the wine night gone wrong.
It's so good.
It's really
I'm excited
so
to see
funny.
This.
Oh my God.
Oh, honey. Oh, honey.
This is like sometimes when someone asks me, because sometimes I'm good at Photoshop and sometimes I'm not. And sometimes somebody will ask me to do a flyer for them and that's what it looks like. And I'm like,
It's like acrylic painting where you're just, you just keep painting over it and you're like, I'll
fix it.
I'll fix it.
It'll be fine.
It looks like Edvard Munch screams like derelict father. That's what
it
looks like.
Exactly.
So that's the guy that like ran out for cigarettes and never came home.
The thing is, you can tell she put like kind of a lot of time into it because there is like shading and blending.
Oh, I think she put a lot of time.
And then she stepped back and she was like, yeah.
Oh, no. That's when you literally just leave the country and never speak to anyone again.
Like when I had long hair and I tried to straighten, I would just like leave the back because I was like, I'm tired, I'm done.
Yeah,
yeah, the back. You're like, whatever.
I ran out of this. It's like me ironing.
Did and you just like, tell yourself no one's gonna notice?
Yeah, I'm just like, God, I just get frustrated. I'm like, I'm just done. Yeah. I'm just done with
You've
this.
Been short hair for a while. How long? Like a year?
It's been a year in November, but I had short hair like before, and then I grew it out again. But I had such long hair that in my undergrad, my friends used to call me Brown Punzel. Like, it was, like, all the way down my back. They were not the most PC.
It's not even, like, a pun.
It's not even funny. Just it's just, like,
hazel.
You're brown.
And I'm a pun.
Yeah.
And the word pun is in it, and it's still not a pun.
Yeah, it's so bad. Oh, man.
I like that, though. I mean, I feel like it's like must be so freeing, right? Just be like,
yeah.
Fuck it.
The only thing is, like, I used to not get haircuts or like even trims for like a year and a half.
Oh, you got to.
And now I'm like, well, I'm broke this month. I can stretch it 5 weeks because my hair grows super fucking fast. So
yeah,
I have to do it like every 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing with, I'm like that with coloring my hair, like being broke and having hair maintenance is a nightmare because you get held hostage by your own head.
Yeah.
You're like, I gotta make money. This shit has to get fixed.
Yeah. It's like having a child, really.
It really is.
Absolutely.
The shame has to get
parenting,
fixed.
Having a head.
Just a green, kind of dry child.
I never colored my hair. I had like one streak of indiscernible dark blue down like in like college. Ooh, I like did it myself and no one noticed. And I was like, it's blue kind of. Look at the light. And like no one gave a fuck. But like that was the only time I ever colored my hair. So I've heard it like, it does it damage? A little
big
bit
time.
Or,
yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's horrible. And you have to keep doing it.
Yeah,
so,
and
like,
then that
do
you have
you
your hair
to...
colored?
No.
Oh, okay.
But like,
so lucky.
if you have to like keep doing it blonde, especially.
Oh
like,
yeah,
that's
a nightmare.
Like, that's why lifting. Like every little thing you like start, you have to keep doing it. Like I keep hearing, I'm really bad at being a lady. And
no,
I keep
it's so
hearing,
much.
I keep hearing so new much. Shit. Like I like see my friend in her Instagram story doing new shit to her eyebrows, and I'm like, we got to do that now.
Yeah,
we
got
to fucking.
So we've got the under eye. Now we have the under eye masks. Which do look fun.
They work.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't tried them.
They're nice.
But like
those.
We're
microblading our eyebrows now.
Everyone's like super, there's so much facial like washing shit going
Lash
on
extensions.
That I can't keep up with.
And this kind of shit, it's like that thing where once you get a taste.
And then you keep doing it and you keep finding new shit to do. This is, I'm just too lazy for this.
I'm checked out. I like to reserve certain stuff for the people that I care about. Like I hadn't gotten my nails done in probably 8 to 9 months. Got my nails painted for your wedding.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I just like
yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
And this is what they look like now.
Beautiful.
But it's great. I love it.
I got my nails done one time. Mm-hmm. It was for my boyfriend at the time's like sister-in-law's like bachelorette thing. It was like at a spa. And I went in and I did the gel thing. And I'm talking to the lady and she's talking about how she's like studying like physics or something. And I'm like, is this a UV light? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, is this going to give me hand cancer? And she was like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, you said you study science. Yeah. And then after that, I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
Because we literally use those lights to cure like plastics in lab.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, what do you mean to cure?
What do you mean?
We pour like certain materials and then you cure it, like harden using UV light. And I was like, this is the same shit. We're not supposed to put our fingers in here.
Right. That's basically the theme of manicures.
I think that's the theme of most shit we do to ourselves.
Oh, it's
right?
Don't put your fingers in there. No, because like after I get a manicure, like I got fake nails for the wedding, and like they
those fake nails are nuts.
They're
that process is crazy.
It smells horrible. It smells like asbestos. Yeah, like they're like a saw, all this dust is coming off. Then because they've just taken off
properly with it.
Oh yeah, I had to get a vibrator because my other one wasn't working and I had fake nails. I was like, I have to jerk off.
Wait, what was wrong with? Oh, I see. Okay,
Do you think like people with fake nails are like more uptight just because they haven't masturbated enough?
I can jerk off fine. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
I'm okay. No, these things
are
like
everyone.
Skateboards.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But then also like they've just taken down your cuticle, so you've got like some open skin. And then they put like acetone in it. Yep. You're just
it's not good for you.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing to our bodies?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I want to ask you, like, the fake tanning thing, is that like, do you guys feel pressure to feel like
I did that for the wedding?
Yeah.
And again, the only barrier.
But you
have
spray tan.
You spray tanned, right?
Yeah.
Is that bad for you too?
No. One I did was all vegan organic.
I think spray is all vegan
organic, not GMO.
It's not blood. It was
free range, so I just ran through a field while they did it.
Pretty much. I smelled like fruit punch all day. I'm not kidding.
Really? You just burst into rooms like, hey.
Lovely. Yeah, you're a little gummy, but what are you going to do?
That's so I mean, yeah, I've never gotten any.
I've never gotten one.
It's the opposite for us brown people. It's like, we got to lighten up. That's like that shit, and that's like bleaching and shit, which is ridiculous. I've never.
Right.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I can't
Is that? It can't. I'm assuming it's not the same process as like going into a tanning bed. But
no,
I don't
they have
know.
Like creams and stuff.
Oh right.
They have like Fair and Lovely.
I see all the, like, the ads
have,
for it.
Really?
It's a very like shame based thing. Like I'm half North Indian, which is light skinned, and half South Indian, which is dark skinned. And like my mom used to when I was. She's better now. She's trying to get it. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, she used to be like, I don't know what happened to you. You used to be so fair skinned. And I was like, you fucked my dad. Like, my dad is hella dark.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? And like, even on my dad's side, some of the darkest people on that side will wear like turmeric and stuff, which is like a cheaper version of lightening your skin. But then they like never take it off. So they just look jaundiced.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, you used to be so fair skinned. I'm like, you're the blackest person I've seen. Like, why do you care about this?
Yeah.
You know, it's very like the colorism is very like strong.
Right. Right. In India. It's still like a measure of
your worth, especially as a woman. For dudes, they're like, oh, we'll just marry him off, like he's got a job, whatever. But for women, it's like, you gotta be pretty and have a job now.
So they consider you being prettier as lighter?
Yeah of course. Mm-hmm. All over Asia. The whole like, have you guys, you know, like light skin memes and stuff in like black culture? Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere that's like non-white is trying to be like lighter, and everywhere that's white is
trying to be darker.
Tan.
We're paying $50 a pop to have vegan shit sprayed all over.
So we all look beige in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all reaching towards beige.
That's actually beautiful. We're all reaching towards beige.
Have you noticed that like, I feel like every woman now looks like Kim Kardashian and every dude looks like Drake? Like they're all just like turning into those like makeup styles and the
lines, the contour. No, that makeup, that contour is very specific, and you do see it a lot
and
more
the,
now.
Like the flat like middle part thing just slicked back. Like,
you know what also, I mean, okay, I'm having kind of complicated feelings about Kim Kardashian because I just wish she would fucking break up with Kanye, and it's kind of stressing me out.
Yeah. It's stressing you out?
Yeah, because I like her and I'm thinking about having to unfollow her on Instagram. Because I mean, come on.
I have her name muted.
What do you like? I know a lot of people like give her hate and stuff. What do you?
I like her.
What do you like about her?
I like her as a, I think she's a really interesting businesswoman. I think she's made the most of. I mean, what she's done as like a business person is really impressive. And I just like her style. I like looking at her in cool outfits. I mean, I like
that. Despite like how much like how they made money or whatever, like whatever, you know, like they are good business people, but I also like that they do it as like a family. Like, it seems like there's real shit there.
There's like a genuine love there. And she was on a podcast recently, I forget the guy's name, but he does this like really serious deep dive podcast about people who've been wrongfully convicted, and of course we all know she went to see President Trump and got that woman exonerated. And I listened to the interview, and like, she didn't come off as the most intelligent person, of course, because she's, you know, on with this guy who's super intelligent, but She does understand that she has a responsibility with the platform that she has to do important things for social change. Like, and I do appreciate that about her.
Yeah. That's so you want her to leave Kanye?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about Kanye?
Well, that's really complicated too. I really liked him for a really long time and went to bat for him so much. And I was so like, you know, I really like bought the Kanye clue, but he's really crossed the line for me.
No, same. I was like in his boat for so long. I didn't care about all the ego shit. I didn't care about
me
whatever.
Either. That's what I liked about
exactly.
him.
And then with this last thing, I was like, okay,
I can't. Bye. Not in this climate.
Well, it's not even not in this climate. He just is. I understand what he's doing and why he's doing it. He's like, I want to say whatever I want to say. I want to like act out. I want to like see what I can get away with and like break anybody's perception of me. And he's been that way for a long time. Yes. Like he had that like interview with Kimmel. He was talking about not getting into the fashion thing. And like a lot of what he said as a black man and like speaking for black people was right. And then it slowly like he was like, okay, now that I've like achieved this level, I'm just going to like warp it and go the other way to see how far I can push back against the other side. Mm-hmm. But what he doesn't realize is that people are dying. he's so far removed from it that he doesn't get that like
it's just a game for him.
Yeah, it's like any amount of confidence or like power you give, like people are literally dying and like losing their children.
Yeah,
and like you actually your words. I think he doesn't value himself enough to think that his words like make an impact in that political sphere.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whereas like Kim Kardashian, in his own little world,
who he's married to on the other end of the spectrum, and like what I learned on this podcast with her is like she literally goes on the weekends to women's prisons by her fucking self and talks to inmates. And, like, helps different people's cases.
Right.
And, like, yeah, it sucks that she's friends with Ivana Trump, but, like, or which one's the kid?
Ivanka.
Yeah.
Ivanka.
It sucks that she's friends
For kid.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to remember that. Thank you. Yeah. And, like, yeah, we can hate on her for that, but at least she's like, you know what? I can fucking put in a call and make this happen. Like, I'm going to. And not everyone. Paris Hilton, by the way, who I always really liked, has been very silent on Donald Trump.
And it's like, is she involved at all?
I'm sure they're all, in the same kind of
hotel families. It's like crazy, like how many people, they are hotel families.
Yeah. They're all, it's all like an incestuous rich.
This whole world is wild.
Yeah.
This is so stupid. Why don't we run for president?
Yeah.
I was like, I think I had a tweet where I was just like, I think I want to run for Congress just for the Instagram followers. Cause like, it's so
I know, it's
weird.
Such a weird world we live in now. You know that one ad where, I can't remember who it was, but it was some Republicans, like all of his siblings talking shit on him.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, in Texas?
The Texas guy.
Yeah. It was so funny. It was like all of his siblings going like literally like he's terrible.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
It was like seven people being like, he's my brother and I hate
that's
him.
That's what the fucking Trump family should have done, but they're so greedy. Like they don't give a shit.
No.
I was like, you know, if I think that some member of my family, I would hope that I would have the integrity enough to like understand like the effect on the populace and like stand up and be like, well, Thanksgiving's going to be awkward, but don't fucking vote for this person.
But they've been raised that way their whole life. It's like that article about Ivanka years ago was just like her when she was a kid, she'd have a lemonade stand and it would be in Trump Tower. And all the people, like the maids and stuff, had to buy lemonade from like Ivanka Trump.
It's insane.
Their entire life has been like, no, this is everyone serves me. I've been served my entire life. So
that's
they don't have
just what you think reality is.
Yeah, that's what they think it is since they were kids.
And I've definitely like noticed that a lot of people just are like, if you do not experience struggle, you do not have empathy and you do not have the ability to see how like this is like real for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's so I have been working in a lab since I was like 13. Mm-hmm. And I am very naive. I'm very like idealistic. I always think that people are on the same level as me intellectually, empathetically, like whatever.
Yeah.
And it's fucked me over in comedy a little bit. I've gotten burned a lot. And so because of comedy and because of this administration, both of which like started 2 years ago for me, I still get taken advantage of all the time, but I'm just like, oh, there are bad people. Like that's like the first time this is like there are people. And it was because of Congress, that moment where they were like, you don't get the health care that we get. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to keep the health care that we know is good. And we're going to like fuck everybody else over. At that moment, I was like, I was like, why the fuck have I been working in labs since I was 13? Like, why am I trying to come up with solutions if these stupid ass policymakers are like that evil? Like, that's evil.
Yeah, it's very evil.
I'm so stupid. Like, I think it's good that scientists are kind of like, oh, we're just trying to help. Like, everybody's good. Like, because then they can just stay in lab and keep making shit and not know that people are terrible.
But, it seems like the medical, because I have, you know, a lot of family that's like, on the caregiver side of like medicine and stuff like that and in pharmaceuticals, and that's kind of a can of worms too. And it seems like the business structure of all of those things is really, really corrupt and really fucked up, but everyone just kind of keeps to their corner and they're like, well, this is just what I do.
Well, I think it's at different levels. Like, definitely like the pharmaceuticals, we're having like a huge issue with that now with like the epidemic with like heroin overdoses and all of that and where that stems from. Mm-hmm. But being in science, like there are so many good people. This is I love superheroes and like comic books and shit, but I'm always just like, why is the scientist always evil? Most of us are like just like trying to like do something good for the world, and I think that that is true. Like the business structure, like a lot of companies won't invest in new pharmaceuticals because it takes like $1.7 billion or so, like some crazy number, to like get something in the pipeline, like get a new product in the pipeline. So they'll just like have like for 10-15 years they'll just be like working with one thing because it'll make them more money, and so there is that thing of like, we have to make money for the larger corporations. But there's so many like startups that are like, we just want to do good science, like we just want to like, you know, automate things.
Yeah,
and
of course
more
people
consistent.
Are doing it for the better, trying to better the world.
It just goes back to the billionaires need to not be such assholes.
Shout out to Bill Gates, because like he doesn't get enough love, that dork, you know, like he needs it.
Oh, seriously. He is.
But I was thinking today, I was like, society values, like, whenever anybody says like, oh, somebody's like sweet or kind, it's because they have nothing else going for them. Like, no one ever says that Bill Gates is like sweet or kind. They're like, he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Right. That's the first adjective. Yeah. Because it's, they value like wealth or like ambition or like talent, like, you know, just these more unattainable things than just like being kind.
Wow. That's really deep. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. And like, I even kind of get insulted if someone says I'm nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm boring. Am I boring to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also I'm like, well, I'm expected to be nice because I'm, you know, I get into that.
I don't want to be fucking nice.
Yeah. It also has to do with like all of the jobs that are quote unquote professional, nice jobs, or generally female jobs, or like, you know, feminine jobs, or like nurses or teachers or caregiving positions and stuff like that. And we don't value them in general.
And we don't pay them enough.
Yeah. We don't pay them enough.
Yeah. So it's like one or the other. Like, do I want to be successful or do I want to be nice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
Yeah. We definitely put that in the other end where it does seem like this like evil, that you're right. It is funny is to make the scientist evil, because it's like, no, it should be the other end of the spectrum. Those are the people who are like, oh, you gotta like be bloodthirsty to get ahead or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? That's what we make people think.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel like the tides are changing a little bit as far as like trying to listen to people who've been, you know, the victims and taken advantage of and not let that guy win, but it's going to take a while.
I do. It definitely is like, our world is so fucking weird. It is interesting watching people who are trying to like save whatever's like Domino's. Didn't Domino's fill potholes in a city?
Yeah.
I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like that's, we're getting like these, now like corporations are trying to do good. And I'm like, what is,
I don't
this
know
is what we wanted.
We don't know what
but
the
like, why do you
here.
Have to do that? Like, why can't the government?
We're so fucked up. We're so fucked up.
Corporations have been our government for a while. So I guess it's good that now they're just being honest about it.
Well, thanks for doing the shit, I guess, at
they're
least.
They're just basically like, I love how corporations like start doing nice stuff because they think like, oh fuck, we've been like, we have to do something nice because people are watching.
They don't want their heads on spikes.
But also, I mean, it was also like money based. Like they couldn't get to deliver their pizzas.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants, you know, you open the pizza and it's a pothole pizza. Or
I mean,
the shit's everywhere.
I think, but then it would be free if it took longer than 30. I'm just going to start making potholes on my street and just ordering a fuck ton
of
pizza.
This is a long game I can get into.
Yeah.
I like it.
Domino's, I feel like, has been at the forefront of so much technology.
Yeah,
they've got the pizza there.
They've got the new hotspot thing.
Yeah.
They invented Velcro. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. They had two pieces of pepperoni that got stuck together. Yeah. Was like, oh my God. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, Hey, we're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Paula B. I said it
you
right
said
again.
You said it again. I'm like going to cry.
Killing it.
You're killing it.
Great. We were just talking about posting. We're talking about when guys let you know that they've jerked off to your photo. Which we've talked about before, but I had this guy message me and be like, glad you're back in the States and posting thirst traps again. I was like, why?
Fuck
tell me
off.
This.
You just don't have to
you
say
don't
it.
Don't need to say it.
I think dudes think that we want a reaction and no. We never do.
Look, we know some of you are jerking off to us. Just let it be unsaid.
Yeah, I put it out there because I want whatever level of attention I want. I don't need you to specifically tell me.
We jerk off to you and never fucking tell you.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't ever jerk off to them. But
I jerk off to people I know that I think would fuck me. So it's like a consensual fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's like, I'm never going to tell them because their egos would not be able to handle it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'd be like, I wouldn't want to actually fuck you. This is why I'm jerking off to you.
Yeah, so much easier to leave it over there.
You don't shut up. Jesus.
but we were talking about, Paula B doing like a before. That's such a funny idea. It highlights what's missing.
Yeah,
a before and after, so you have stuff in the background
like thirst trap to see like if they're paying attention to my lamps or whatever.
Exactly.
What's the spot the difference? That's what
yeah
you call
spot
it.
The
yeah,
difference
there was a teddy bear over there and now it's moved to the other side.
But let's be honest, they only are looking at one thing in the picture. They're not noticing the teddy bear.
But the creeps, I think that's the creeps are gonna the creeps are gonna notice.
Yeah.
Like it's like the people who watch porn too much that have to like critique the background of it. It's like it means nothing to you anymore. You're like, it's even grosser.
Yeah, you've seen this too many times.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a few. We did some of these last week. We'll do some would you rather spooky would you rather for Halloween.
Would you rather have a pumpkin for a head or knives for hands?
Ooh. Oh,
fucking knives for hands.
Knives for hands for sure.
In 2018,
it's like, knives for
it's
hands.
Like, do I want to be vulnerable or be the predator? And I would rather be the predator.
I don't necessarily think you're vulnerable if you have a pumpkin head, but it just doesn't seem as fun.
I think of like the Homer Simpson donut head. I'm like gonna eat my head at some point.
Yeah. Or like I'm very klutzy. Yeah, I feel like I would take a spill.
Oh my God.
Oh,
yeah.
That would break.
You'd be fucked.
Yeah. Sex would get a little. I mean, that would be tough for Sean if I was a pumpkin head. I mean, yeah, knives would be like, no picnic in the park either.
You would have a weird career or life probably. Yeah. Like, but that would be your brand.
Does he listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, so, podcast. In like 3 weeks, he's not going to be like, fucking pumpkin head.
Pumpkin head. Of all the things I've said on the podcast, I would be lucky if that was what he picked up.
That's so
nice for hands, absolutely. For sure. I mean, it'd be inconvenient. And how would you travel? You couldn't go on a plane.
It's an Edward Scissorhands type situation.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. Get really good at haircuts.
But you couldn't, like, literally, you couldn't go on a plane.
We could take a.
You figure
no,
it out.
You can't. No, you can't because there are people with pacemakers and like other things that are metal.
But pacemakers aren't.
I know. But it's
maybe
like
if it's your hands,
it's a medical condition.
It's a medical condition.
Maybe
you'll figure it out. Because you can travel on planes with like medical, like in like my sleep apnea machine. I'm super sexy, guys. You can travel and you can just like go through and like not tell them what it is.
Mm-hmm. What if you had like two little like traveling like hand blocks? You just put your like knives into blocks.
Yeah, you probably have to. You probably have to mobilize them during. Yeah,
and then TSA has the key.
Yeah.
And then the flight attendant would have to like feed you your ginger ale.
I would like that.
That could be kind of nice.
I mean, because my first thought with a pumpkin head too is not that I even like wear that much makeup, but I would miss wearing makeup.
You can wear makeup on a pumpkin head.
That's true.
Would you have it cut out?
Yeah. Are you thinking of it as a jack-o'-lantern or as a full?
Oh, I was thinking of just like a plain pumpkin.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking a jack-o'-lantern, but that's only one face. I don't think you get more than one.
Yeah, and I would want like a sexy jack-o'-lantern. I guess I could get a stencil or something.
Yeah. You could just draw it with Sharpie and then like wash it off.
You
can
just be something like different have like the candle inside so nobody has to ask you for a lighter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Put it right into your face. That'd be great.
I think I'm definitely going knives for hands. Just so many more applications. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't feel. I think I'd be not scared to walk around.
Yeah, that's what I think. If you get catcalled and they're like, "Hey, knives for hands," and you're like, "I have fucking knives for hands." Like, why would you talk
to me? Hey, knives for hands. That's the part they're hitting on.
They're like, "Hey, it's so shiny and clean."
You could probably make so much money. Like, I've been thinking a lot about about women who make money off financial domination and like being, just doms. And they don't even have sex. They just like,
got through college that way.
Really?
And she's a super dope scientist.
And hell like, I bet you could like get like guys would pay shitloads of money
to sharpen your hands on their block.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Just shing. Yeah.
And I feel like although flying might be slightly more tedious, you'd be able to walk alone anywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think though, like, yeah, because they're always, but then I'd be like, that's, you know, whenever you have like a weapon, they're like, oh, it'll get turned against you. And then I'd be like, why are you hitting yourself?
Oh, that's a good point.
Are you stabbing yourself?
But I also, I am very like terrible with knives. Like I'm very clumsy. And so I would be afraid that I would like hurt myself, like forget that I have knives for hands.
I for sure would.
Yeah.
I for sure would. Yeah. And then like, I mean, everything, because how do you, I guess you're always being fed and like,
you couldn't type.
Oh,
well, it's just like having
really big long nails.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just like totally really long. I guess you would have to figure out a solution.
Oh, God,
I like voice to type anyway.
You
I feel like I have a little assistant.
You like voice to type?
I never use it.
Yeah.
Oh, can my you do a long thing? It always says the wrong thing.
Huh?
It always says the wrong thing.
And then I go back and I fix it.
Can you do like a, like if you had something long to write, would you dictate it if you could?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'd go back and I'd edit it, but yeah.
But that's your preferred.
I prefer to talk stuff out and then go back and organize how I want it.
Interesting. I have too much trash coming out of my mouth for me to do that.
There's something that just clicks for me, like my brain to hand connection. Like, and it's weird. There's some things I have to type and some things I have to write. Like stand up, I can't write on a computer.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't write it at all.
I'm training myself to use my notes and stuff so I don't lose it.
Me too, because then
I just lose
everything. And it's like all, if I have any little note about one joke, it's like, oh, well, that was five notebooks somewhere else. Yeah. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Started organizing a little bit better.
That's a good idea. I should do that.
So you've been doing stand-up for 2 years?
Yeah.
How did you like get into it from... Were you in school getting your PhD then?
No. I started. So basically, my ex, we were dating at the time. He started taking improv and he got into SF Sketch Fest and he went to these like performer parties and brought me along.
Oh, yeah. The improv gateway.
Yeah. And, so then I'd wanted to do stand up. One of my friends had, like, we went and saw him do an open mic and like it had been in my mind and I was like a comedy nerd. I knew where like stand-ups came from, what scenes they came from, like I was listening to all the podcasts, I was watching like all the specials, but I like never thought that I could do it. And then I went to this party and I talked to like local stand-ups and I was like, I was meeting like my heroes or like people that I was a huge fan of. And I was like, I need to be around this always. And so then I asked like the local stand-ups in SF where they went to do comedy, and I went and did a set the next day and came back to the performer party and got to like tell them that I did it.
Aww.
And like I talked to John Hodgman and Paul F. Tompkins about like I was like, this is insane, like this. And then I couldn't this is at Brainwash in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like it was done. And then I had like such a terrible life. I had like a crazy commute with work and stress with my relationship and stress with my roommates. And I only did like another mic like 3 months later and another mic 3 months after that. And then I knew I was going to USC for my PhD. And then I was like, when I move to LA, I'm going to go hard. And then I like did.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah. Yeah. It was, and I like didn't realize like how small the comedy community was or that it could have gone poorly for me like starting in LA. But I was just like too dumb to notice. And I just kept doing it. So
well,
I was like, whatever.
We all started in LA. So it's like, I don't know.
You just have to start somewhere.
It's like sometimes it's better to like throw it. I think if you're somebody who likes to do it big, it's kind of better to just be like, I'm just going to do it in one of the biggest places.
I was too dumb to like know the repercussion. I didn't know like industry would like be anywhere near me ever.
Well, and also you're coming, that's like you're going to school here. You didn't have the choice. It was like,
I like chose my school based on like the program and the professor and the research and stuff. And it was like, it was between this, Cleveland or Utah. And I was like, at the end when I was like consciously like making the decision for the school afterwards, I was like, oh my God, thank God it's LA. Like, cause then I knew I could do more comedy there. But
That's so cool. I mean, I don't know. I think it's awesome because I didn't realize you'd only been doing it 2 years and you seem like very developed and, you know.
Oh, cool.
Just good job.
I think, thank you. I feel like a lot of like pressure to get good fast because I'm old. Like, you know what I mean? Like I started at like 20, I did my mic at 26 and then I like really started at like 27.
I don't think that's old.
Yeah.
I started at 25. I mean, okay. I think stand up is a little normal to start like in your mid 20s.
That's what somebody was saying, but I see a lot of people who start like 19 and I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Run. Like,
that's,
you have to know.
I think it's good to have the fuck run instinct anyway. So,
yeah.
Right.
Can't hurt.
Yeah. And like, they'll all take a dip at some point to go live a life to some degree.
Yeah.
Like, they I'll do.
I think I'm at, I'm think I'm in my dip because I'm like, yeah. I don't have a ton of shows. I have the least shows booked that I've ever had right
oh, really?
Now.
You just mm-hmm. came off doing so many shows. I think it seems natural.
Yeah, to
just,
exactly. Because like, yeah, I recorded yeah. an album and then I was just like, hey. Fuck this. I was like so exhausted and sick of all my fucking material. Yeah. Like whatever. Yeah. But it is, it's weird because it's the first time where I haven't felt panicked about it. I'm sure next week I will feel different because I've been home for like a week from this trip. But mm-hmm. it's like the first time in like 10 years where I'm not like, oh God, I have to go out, which yeah. kind of scares me.
But it might just be like your own confidence and your abilities and like where you stand in the comedy community and stuff. Because yeah. you're not yeah. like scrambling because you know you're going to get it. Like you know yourself. You're going to do it.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's part of it. It does scare me though because I don't ever want to lose the push. But it's like it does get, it's exhausting. You know,
well, you can
it
take is. Breaks, I think, too.
Yeah, like, it's, I think it's fine. Live. It's okay.
Yeah. It's like, not like you're out of, like comedy is so much more than stand up. Like I want to do stand up the most. Like I want to do like be on stage the most and everything else that I do is to like get to a point where I can like just drop in anywhere right. and yeah, like yeah. you know what I mean.
Yes, that'd be the best.
Yeah, I know, that's how I feel too, because to me stand up like I can't I realize like not gonna make like a lot of money doing just stand up yeah. and so to me it's like I just know that I want to make a lot of money, so I'm like
you do love Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I do. And I mean like honestly in sixth grade my teacher told us that the difference between Democrats and Republicans is that Republicans were rich, which is so fucked up.
Jesus.
But because of that, I decided I was going to be a Republican because I was like, I want to be rich. And I asked my mom to buy me a Rush Limbaugh book. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And bless my mom's heart, she did. But
and you read it and you were like, oh, fuck.
I would have been like, oh, fuck, if I knew what the word oogling meant, because there's a whole chapter where he talks about oogling women in the pool.
Oh.
Yeah. But so Jesus. To me, like, stand up is the most fun thing of anything I do, though. So it's more yeah. just like, it's like I get to do stand up. Like, this is so
yeah,
it's
I love
not,
it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. But yeah. I was going to say, like, it is like the angle, but like, comedy is so much more than just that, right? Like,
totally.
Like, it's all these other things. So, like, you doing the podcast and like doing all these other things are all like towards the end of
exactly.
stand up,
yeah,
anyways,
yeah, yeah.
right?
Yeah. I think just when you, you know, when you like, when you've been doing it for like this long and then you're like, okay, like this is how much I have to get up to be relevant, to stay good, to write new stuff. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Totally.
It is like, you get, I'm like, oh God, I hope I haven't lost like some of my drive, but it, you can't.
But I think it's so like, exhausting. It's easy to look at it as segmented, like, oh, that's my stand up and that's my this writing. And
but
that,
it
but
is
actually,
altogether.
It all feeds, yeah. It's all the barber show.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It does all come, and it is like, and it's like one of those things, like, I think for any of us would be like, oh, I wish I was doing this. And it's like, Jesus Christ, you're doing a lot.
Exactly.
It's okay.
I'm having like yeah. a real hard time right now because I literally like we packed out like our New York facial rec show.
Oh,
like all my
awesome.
Friends came out. It was like we made money. Like mm-hmm. all this shit happened, and I got off stage and I was like, that joke didn't hit. Like I just like
oh, God.
I'm like literally yeah. like in the middle of just like hating every fucking set and like everything that I'm doing, and I like I'm aware of it. And I'm like when I'm in the moment, I'm like, mm-hmm. was that like did I have one of the best sets of the night? No. Like mm-hmm. did I get more laughs? It didn't sound like that from stage. It sounds like they got more laughs. Like
right,
it, and I'm like
right.
it's a comparison. Thing and the like wanting to like prove myself in like different scenes that I'm going through right now where I'm just like I can't I literally like I did an hour the day like you were sweet enough to post about it but I did an hour like the day before my 2-year anniversary mm-hmm. I got in the car my dad picked me up I got in the car and I was like where can I get more time because that joke didn't work and I need to like transition to and I like literally I had no time to enjoy it
right
like
right.
it was I'm like I know my brain's doing this but I'm like fucking let it do it I don't know it'll
we're
break sometime
like, we're definitely bad I think
I mean yeah. I'm sure yeah. I'd be interested to wonder if like that's anything related to having like a scientific mind too if you're like okay that experiment mm-hmm. How can I improve it? Next.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it's better to be on that end of the spectrum versus thinking I fucking crushed and
dude,
you've never crushed. You know,
there's so many people, and but those people kind of like inspire me because they brain trick other people.
Yeah,
like the people
yeah.
that think they crush all the time convince other people.
This is the whole world. This is Trump. This is everything right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
like I never am like I fucking crushed. I'm like, yeah. hey, do you think I did okay? Like that's my I fucking crushed. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, yeah. was that okay? But that confidence and that I think that's the kind of like at the beginning I was like real stupid and like not self aware of my comedy and I think that like helped me like get booked and shit because mm-hmm. it's like if you're dumb then you're not gonna be like critical and like analyzing and like you know not.
Right. Right, right.
And mm-hmm. so, like, you convince people to, like, be in your cult, mm-hmm. and then they just do, because
yeah.
people are so influenced.
In A Star Is Born, something was really interesting was, like, both, I think, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's character did this, is that they would, like, do something, or especially Bradley Cooper's, he would do something and there would be this like huge crowd. They'd all be cheering. And then as soon as he got off stage, you'd be like, oh, I didn't play that one part right. I got to go back and like fix this. He would just be like mumbling to himself about what he did wrong in the song, you know? And like, it was like, oh yeah, we all, it doesn't matter how fucking, you know, if you give a shit about it. It doesn't matter how big you get.
Can I shit on a Star Is Born?
It's just what it is.
I want to shit on A Star Is Born right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
But my friend Brooke loves the original, like, and whatever. Like, she loves
There's
the
like
whole
Garland.
Thing.
Original.
She loves Judy Barbara. She loves Judy. Yeah. Like, she is Judy and Barbara. Like, she are. She is that. She loves old Hollywood. She loves everything. She came down to visit. We went to the bowl or whatever where they were like doing scenes of it, and we were like the extras that were like the real audience.
Oh, nice!
We waited for fucking three hours.
You were in the movie?
We were
because all of those performances are real performances.
They're real performances, right? So
I see. Okay,
they perform. They have like extras that are like people that you see in the movie, and then they just have like crowds, right? And so we went to be in the crowd because my friend Brooke loves this thing. We sat there for three hours.
Oh, no, that's gonna ruin
We saw
your...
Bradley Cooper walk out
just
like twice. Lady Gaga and like, and there was a stand-in. We fell in love with the stand-in of Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
And we thought it was more attractive, to be honest.
That's so,
but
that's perfect.
And then Lady Gaga walked out like once and we were all like, oh, fucking amazing. And then she walked back in and we're like, what? And then she came out and then they brought out a birthday cake for some other dude on set. And then when they were supposed to do the songs, they were like, okay, like Bradley's going to do his song. Like after like 3 hours of like just barely seeing Gaga once, he was like, we can't play the music because we can't let you guys hear it.
Oh my God.
And so he stood there and it was just like fake strumming. And so we saw like mostly Bradley Cooper stand in and like Gaga for like 2 seconds, not singing, not saying anything. And then Bradley Cooper just like fake strumming a guitar.
You're describing an extreme version of everyone's experience being an extra.
That's what
in
I was
anything.
Gonna say. But like, if you like any movies, don't ever be an extra. No, don't do anything.
But my friend, they were like, you're gonna see them sing. Like, it felt like, and I was just like, I hate A Star Is Born.
Yeah, you're like, right. It's a terrible movie.
I haven't seen any of it. I hate the whole industry. Where is Bradley Cooper standing? Because he was fine.
That's so funny.
That's
definitely like an experience that no one should have as far as like, oh, like I think I'll be a part of this.
No.
It's not. Always
but
bad.
Also,
it's
you
always
can't
bad.
Really hate them because how else are they going to bait you guys? If they were like, come sit here for 5 hours.
That's a producer. That's a producer.
I know.
Thing.
That's a former Republican.
I know. Yeah. 100% Republican.
That's a sixth grade
Rush
Republican.
Rush Limbaugh oogling the crowd.
Yeah.
How else so are they going to oogle you unless they get you in the pool?
You got to get in the pool.
That's the spookiest thing I've heard at all.
Poogling.
Imagine how the women have been oogled by Rush Limbaugh.
Lots.
So funny. Wait, so was your mom a Democrat?
Yeah.
Did she buy you the book?
Hardcore hippie.
Yeah, that's
this
how, like,
is why we lose. This is why Democrats lose.
No, but my
lose.
Mom was very, I mean, I was a vegetarian at the time, too. She was like, whatever you know, you're independent. I mean, look,
she should have brainwashed
it. It lasted 3 months.
she went hard the other way.
Yeah, okay,
that's good. Because my mom trusted me to be a free thinker.
Maybe it's like smoking and stuff. It's like, let them do it. And then that way they
But then
like,
they get addicted. Most of them get addicted and then
Well, I guess it's more like not they making die it earlier though. So if it's a Republican, it's fine.
Well, if you make it a taboo, then they'll like want to do it even more.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're just like, yeah,
I
sure.
I don't know. My parents made sex a taboo and I don't have it. I don't want to brag.
My parents made sex a taboo.
Yeah, they're parents. That's what parents
are. They're brown parents.
My parents made it seem super cool.
Yeah, exactly. I always got high fived after
my
dates.
Regular glasses.
Oh yeah, my parents were always like, "Did you come?"
Yeah. Aww. Your parents were way better than fuck boys.
No, I'm just kidding. My parents did actually, and this was cool. My parents, because they fucked up. We talked about how my mom kept spiders in the house. So I want to say they did fuck up in a lot of ways. But
they offered you some protection. But not on the
But they would always be like, "You can see rated R movies if they're rated R for sex, but not if they're rated R for violence."
Smart.
Because sex is not something that should be like just, you know, ashamed of. But
that's that's cool. Dope, hippy dippy parents.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wasn't getting any granulated sugar. I had a lot of fucked up. I had no cable TV. I had a lot wrong with my childhood.
Yeah.
But
I will say, this is just, I've talked about this before, but when I watched the movie Hocus Pocus with my brother, I didn't know what a virgin was.
Yeah, what? Like, that's so crazy. What the whole premise
the whole
of that
premise
movie
of that movie yeah. is finding that
for
virgin.
Children. Yeah. And we all watched it. And we're like, this is our favorite movie. We're gonna watch it in sleepovers into long into adulthood.
Absolutely.
And it was all about it was on this, the Disney Channel.
Yeah. And so I didn't know what a virgin was. I asked my brother, and he was like, I don't want to tell you. Ask mom and dad. And then I asked them.
It's the worst answer.
I asked them, and then they said, you can't watch that movie anymore. No. That was their solution. Anyway, I'm only saying this because I'm in this thing called Comedian Cinema Club now.
Oh,
and
fun.
We're doing Hocus Pocus all month. So we are doing it tonight in Hollywood.
Fun. There you go.
Super fun. We reenact movies. It's terrible and funny, and everyone gets drunk. So it's on my Twitter. I forgot. Yeah, so go on there and come see me. I think
it's
playing
Real Halloween.
Real Halloween. I did it last week too, but obviously it's too late. And I think I'm playing Bette Midler.
Yeah. I mean,
Winnie?
Yes.
Is her name Winnie in it?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
No, I thought
I'm playing Winnie.
I need to rewatch Hocus Pocus.
I don't remember who I'm playing. I got to watch it too because I have to do this thing.
Fire. I just want a night with like all the Disney Channel like original movies and Hocus Pocus and like all of those like old things. It's so great.
Cetus Lapidus,
what
baby.
What about Death Becomes Her?
Does that hold up?
Rules.
I heard it didn't.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I think it does. I watched it a couple years ago.
Okay, I haven't watched it recently.
Yeah. A minute.
We have to take a break.
I just love when
Goldie Hawn becomes us.
Flaccid.
everybody, flaccid.
Flaccid.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. It's Barbara.
It's Brandy.
And Tess.
And we're with Pallavi Ganalan.
Oh,
no, I did mess it up that time.
I messed it up on the last part.
Ganalan.
Ganalan. There you go. Yeah.
And we're going to do a lady problem. If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Is that like math?
Yeah.
You know, lady problems.
Yeah. We 2 + 2 equals you're beautiful and dump him.
It's about right.
Yeah. I love those tweets on like when they just pop up and it's like, I don't know who you are, but dump him.
Oh yeah, that's pretty much what
it's
we
like,
are.
It's like you really
motto.
Feel the like women community online.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Lady problems. Lady problems.
Here we go. Hey, ladies. You've got a new listener and fan. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your awesome souls of the world via a great podcast. I was listening to What is Randyland about creepy people standing too close. It's an old episode. I'm already an angry New Yorker, and I have to ride the subway every day. I have a problem. People will stand on top of me like I don't exist. I look like a nice young woman with red hair, someone who will take a lot of shit. After 15 years living in New York and growing up in dirty Jersey, I've developed a raging bitch attitude towards strangers with no understanding of personal space. One time I was sitting on a pretty empty train and a young couple decided to stand over me, hold the overhead bar, and make out while they Eiffel towered my legs.
What?
Their grandmother sat next to me and smiled on.
What?
But the grandma
I said
was
to them, quote, please stop making out on me. And they said, what's the big deal? We're not touching you. I got into a weird match and I looked like the lunatic. Please tell me how to learn to keep these weirdos off of me. My husband never has problems like this and finally has come around to admitting that it's a thing for me. Thank you.
Oh, man, I love it when a guy doesn't think that there's something that's true. Dude, and then they're like, then they finally see it. And they're like, okay.
What?
It's almost worth the bad thing.
Yeah,
just
you're
to
like, you see that this happened, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's happened to me where, like, I'll be walking with, in the far past with my boyfriend. And, people will catcall me and he literally, like, won't hear it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how unaware. Men are so unaware of their environments. This is why women will survive in the wild.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
Men have no idea what the fuck is happening.
Their heads aren't on swivels.
Yeah.
Like, we're listening and clocking things at all turns.
Yes. Constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, this sucks. I mean, I don't blame you for, like, getting enraged. I definitely... I'm at a point where if people like bump into me or do something to me, I definitely like give them shit or might tell them to fuck off.
Totally normal reaction.
Yeah. I was just in New York and it was the first time in a while and it was the first time for a stand up. So I was like running from place to place. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I went there, I was like, oh my God, what if I love it so much? I just want to move here. Like everybody hears all these awesome things about stand up. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I hate people. Like I forgot.
Yeah.
Cause I like walking and listening to music and being by myself a lot in LA. Like I take the bus and shit and I like walk to the stops and stuff. But like, there's so many fucking people. I forgot how many people there are. there are in New York everywhere. Yeah. And in the subways too. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just sucks the energy out of you. Like being around that many other human beings, like it can't help but exhaust you.
And I'm drained. Have a terrible sense of smell and they smell bad.
It smells bad.
Yeah.
It's either in the summer.
It's a pee tube.
If I'm smelling it, it's bad. Yeah. I'll never forget. I was in New York coming home late one night, and I was waiting to transfer trains. It was like 2 a.m. and it was just me and this Wall Street guy who was super fucking drunk, and we were both downtown. And it was a hot summer night.
Oh,
and this guy was clearly so inebriated; his eyes were like glassed over. And I watched this man pee his khakis. I heard the piss like dripping down onto the concrete below us. And he was so drunk he didn't even realize he had pissed himself.
Well, and you think about how many people have been that guy in that place over the course of decades the city has existed.
It's there's just centuries of khaki
piss. Layer, you know, like a skillet, like one of those pans that you spice. That, except with
like
piss.
A cast iron.
It's one giant piss cast iron.
Yes.
Anyways, it was super fun.
Shows are great.
I don't. I definitely don't blame her for.
Yeah.
Especially when people are always. What do you do if people are besides like telling them to get away, which she's doing?
It's very like invalidating to have people like not care about your existence. Like, and for her to, I'm sure that happens to her in like in everyday life, or like for her workspace or whatever, because she seems to describe herself as someone that like people do that to a lot. Mm. It's gotta be awful.
This is where the. I feel like the knife hands would really come in handy.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can get some knife hands.
Yeah.
Fuck up those pumpkin heads.
Yeah. Just start making like really annoying noises and just be like,
crazy them.
Crazy them. I think that's the move.
It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah. Just lean into it real hard.
Maybe I want
just get one of those not foghorn, whatever.
Oh, like an air horn?
Air horn.
I hate to ever like advocate for someone to even have to try wearing high heels, but I will say I don't wear them at all because I'm already really tall. And like when I wear heels, I have the opposite problem of like everyone looks at me.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe because I think not only are you taller, but I think it kind of changes your outlook on yourself a little. Like you just feel bigger and like more intimidating.
You guys have like a bitch walks. Like I have like
You
like get bigger. I imitate my friend Eugeniu, who's this like he's from Moldova. He's this like, European guy, and he like walks with his dick first, and I just like I strut like him and like have my bitch face on. That helps a little bit. There was one day when I was living in San Francisco, I was noticing that I was getting angry, and it was just because of how I was like portraying myself to the world, because I would walk with this bitch walk and this like bitch face, and I was like, I'm gonna try and just like be happy this morning. So I'm gonna like smile, and I walked outside, and the first person that saw me was like, good morning. And I was like, good morning. And he was like, Mrs. Singh, Mrs. Patel, Mrs. Like he just started getting racist.
What
and, I was, and then I immediately was like, why the fuck did I try to be
never
happy
again, never again.
Exactly.
No.
I was like, what? Like it was like the first person who saw me. And I was like, I'm never doing this again.
That is like a funny opening for a sitcom though.
Yeah.
Just like, today I'm gonna be friendly.
I'm gonna change my perspective.
Someone immediately hawks a loogie on you.
That's life.
She lives in New York. I mean, I think maybe doing some kind of work, like with whether it's with high heels or some kind of posturing or something where you're kind of like feeling a little bit more physically imposing.
I mean, heels for me wouldn't be the answer because I'd be uncomfortable. And
I just, in like planes and stuff, I've started telling people, I'm like, hey, can you move over? You're in my space.
Yeah.
And it's like, they hate you, but I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, and like, they are more like they're uncomfortable. So it puts it on them.
Yeah.
But I've started being more vocal.
But it does like she did say this to people.
Yeah.
You know, she did say something.
Yeah, I think,
I think there's going to be some weird scumbag creeps. Unfortunately, like, New York has a pretty high concentration of those. Every time I'm on the subway, I get some garbage goes down at least once a trip.
Yeah.
There's always some fucking weirdo that's, like, too close or something. And I'll usually just, like, outcraze them or just be a bitch and they leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like,
and I hate when that happens on the subway, too, because you just feel so trapped.
Yeah, you're stuck there. And nobody's going to help you.
And then you're the one yelling.
Yeah.
Exactly. It always feels, like, uncomfortable in the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, I think it's obviously great to tell people to fuck off and assert your boundaries.
Yeah.
It's
very empowering. It feels really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, maybe it's not in these instances what happened, I think maybe like the instinct is to like think that it's you, and it's like it could just be these are just like two horny narcissists that like get off on like being close to people. Maybe it's like, you know, it's not necessarily you.
Grandma watching.
I know. Yeah. Like, maybe start making out with a grandma.
Have you tried that? Put your hand on her leg and be like, are we doing this or not? What's happening?
Also, I mean, that is the grandma's for sure the weirdest part of that story.
Yeah, that's very weird.
I mean, I don't know. I always bring chaperones when I make out with people. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Maybe that was an improv.
Yeah, they were like about to get married the next day, and she was like, I got to make sure
they don't actually put it in.
Yeah.
One more night.
No tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess keep doing what you're doing.
Maybe just start giving people a round of applause. Like, every time they're too close, be like, great job.
Oh, my God. I like that.
That's so good. Yeah. I love, like, positive, like, heckling kind of a thing, because it's the most infuriating shit for people. Like, I used to bike a lot in my old job, like, and there were people who would just get mad that I was, like, on a bike, and they would be, like, screaming at me, and I'd be like, hi, and just, like, wave at them,
because like,
there's nothing they can do.
Nice.
Yeah,
thumbs like up is a real fuck you.
It's a big fuck you, yeah. It's great.
I've started just rolling down my window at people that piss me off in traffic and just going, hey, excuse me, you're trash. And then I just drive away. It's the new fuck you. It's a fun one.
Yeah, or maybe like, so her instinct, she's probably, when she goes on and chooses a seat, she's picking the seat that she thinks is not going to be the like the one that people won't bug her by.
Yeah.
So maybe you have to go in the opposite direction and be like, okay, what's the seat that looks the most unappealing?
Oh, her seat picker, as French would say, is broken.
Yeah. This is like broken me picker. Like grocery store lines, I always pick the longest one, and I'm like, every fucking time it, like, it's and you know, and you think like, oh, I'm not gonna go with the one with the most, or like the old person or whatever, and then the one you're in just like something crazy happens.
Every time maybe they're paying, like, try to go against the grain and choose your second instinct and then see what happens.
I also think like I think part of her issue is that she's like upset all the time about like it's enraging for her, so she's constantly like in a bad mood. So maybe like do something. Like, I was getting really anxious when I was in New York, and I was like working in a coffee shop. It wasn't even that crowded, and I was just like, fuck this, and I just like went and took a nap in Central Park. And I was like, so like do something that like alleviates that
maybe
tension.
Get some
for
essential
you
oils to like breathe in,
like a skin mask or something.
Lavender
mask. Yeah,
these are our LA ideas. Yeah. We spent a lot
that's
of time
like
in
you
cars.
Do in New York, right? It's a lot of essential oils.
Just do some yoga on the subway.
I feel like cars just talking about essential oil buildup on the subway platforms.
But seriously, it is so in LA, so nice having your own car. You just your freedom. You're listening to music.
Space.
You have space. Yeah.
It's like everybody says like New York is like it's easy to get from place to place and it's all close together, and it's like it's close together. I don't like that.
It's not easy to get from place to place.
In New York.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, I mean,
it depends where you're going to, but I mean, it can take just as long to get from one part of New York.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not LA is easy to get from place to place too if you're going from Eagle Rock to downtown or something. You know what I mean?
Going
from like Queens to Brooklyn is not.
But sometimes, space is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe try to find places that you can, like, in the middle of your transit, just, like, go to a park or something and, like, chill out and then, like, come back to it or something. Because sometimes you just need to, like, calm the fuck down from life.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think that's a good tip in general. Like, that's why you do say the quality of living in LA is, like, just easier in general because you can walk outside and be like, you know, most days.
Everything.
For
it's nice. And you forget. It's easy to, like, forget about that because when I was traveling, I was like, oh, like, it's so great over here. The shows are so great. Maybe I should move here. And then I was just talking to this girl who lived in London for 3 years. And she was like, yeah, it's sunny for 3 weeks a year. And she's like, you forget that messes you up. And I was like, oh, right. She's like, I like it here more.
I always like living in LA, but leaving LA.
Yeah, it's important. It's nice to come back.
You got to take breaks. Yeah.
And that's what
for
I'm looking for as far as like a city to live in. It's a place that I want to leave.
Yeah,
it's great. It's a nice like blank slate. Like,
absolutely. Because you do it over and over again.
Yeah. It's Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's coming.
Totally.
It's great. There's hiking.
Yeah. You know what I think is a good idea for her too? Anytime I like find myself getting mad at somebody, I instead will try to think of like what would make this situation really funny or really fucking awkward right now.
Yeah.
Just like if somebody is Eiffel Towering your legs, you're like, what if you just started like ladies spreading your legs and like moving their legs further and further
apart?
That's funny. And it's not doing it. Like, you wouldn't do it, but it's like a funny thing to be like, oh, I could like I could in this moment ruin everyone's time.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I could sit in the awkwardness
that
I created.
You laugh at that moment, which
yeah.
would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you're just sitting there laughing by yourself, maybe that will freak yeah. them out.
What if she just like narrates just super loud?
Oh
like,
my God.
Oh my God. You're making out right now and your grandma's here? Okay.
You do like the yeah. David, Richard Attenborough like style. Be like, yeah. and now the
female.
In their natural habitat.
Yes.
On the subway platform.
Yeah. On, the male wraps his tongue ever so gently
of
around.
Course. Or she could just stare at them and start making out with her hand.
Yeah. yeah.
Like make direct eye contact with one of them.
I also have a boyfriend.
yeah. Like, oh, you love each other. Isn't that great?
Yeah. I did have.
I can totally see you doing that.
yeah. It's very Barbara.
It's what I'm thinking, usually.
I get so mad at like open mics when people go up and talk about like failures in their relationship when they're like talking about hardships. I'm like, you have a relationship. Okay.
Every so guy means, mentions, yeah, that they're like, they have a girlfriend or whatever. Like, after being like, oh, Tinder. And then they're like, well, my girlfriend. And you're like, oh, fuck off.
Have a continuous story.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Every time, now it's, oh, I'm so, I'm a bad person. But now every time I see someone who's like not appealing, I'm like, I like guess before they like start talking, I'm like, they're in a relationship. They like they and the other person have settled. Like yeah. I like predict it, and then later they're like my wife of 3, and I'm like, yep,
yeah,
yeah. Like that
that's
person.
So funny.
Yeah, so bad.
No, that's not that. That's just life.
Yeah,
it means
yeah.
you're good at reading people.
Yeah,
yeah. Everyone's an asshole sometime.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
We've
the
all
the
got
human
them
condition.
And we all are them.
Yeah.
Words crossed it.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me. Super fun.
Let everybody know where they can find your podcast and find you online.
Okay, everyone, get out a pen and paper.
Everyone.
My name is Pallavi Ganalan. That's PallaviGunalan. And that's my website, my Instagram, my Twitter, and my Facebook.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
Yep. The first part isn't easy.
It's like, yeah. Well, we'll link. To so, it yeah, on, yeah. We have it on our stuff too.
And I run a show called Facial Recognition Comedy. It's at Westside Comedy Theater the second Sunday of every month at 9 p.m. in Santa Monica. We're starting a tour now. We're going to New York Comedy Fest on November 9th.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, New York Comedy Club. We're going to Sketch Fest again, so that's exciting. And we have a weekly podcast that drops every Tuesday. And our social media and website is Facial Recognition Comedy. So that's Twitter, or no, that's Instagram, Facebook, our website, our Patreon, and then Twitter is Facial Rec Comedy. And then I run like, I'm starting to run, do you know like Nicole Kalisic?
Yeah.
So she is expanding her riff show to, she expanded to New York and we're expanding to LA.
Oh,
so we're
going
to do that.
So what is it? It's just a...
It's Resistance is Fertile. And so it's like, they invert like the typical stand-up lineup where it's like all women and then one token peen.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha, cool.
On the flyers.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. So there's like one guy on this, on the thing, but then we just book other, all like all dope women. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
So that's coming to LA.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, check her out and thank you.
Thank
for
you.
For doing it.
This is so much fun.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, we'll be dropping a top secret sesh on Friday. If you don't know what that is, by the way, go to patreon.com/ladytolady and see what all the extra stuff is. But basically, we do one bonus episode a month for $5 or more. And then $10 or more, you get the bonus up and the top secret session where we reveal some very... I will say the one for French Stewart for the 300th episode was great.
Juicy.
Real doozy.
A real good one.
Real juicy doozy.
Yeah, there's some real juicy stuff on there. So I would recommend
and we're taking,
going
like,
on there.
We're taking recommendations for what you want the bonus episodes to be.
Yeah,
you know?
We're having fun with it. So go check out our Patreon.
Also, if we hit
$2,500
a month, we are going to be doing a pie eating contest.
Yes.
Thank you guys all so much for your input on that.
Absolutely.
I know we had a lot of good pie eating.
Can I come back
info.
For the pie eating?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so go on there. We're going to have so much fun doing that. We kind of know a little bit more how to. People were amazed, by the way, that we could eat more than one pie. You guys, they think they can eat more than one, and I do not.
I think if my adrenaline was up, I could go for it.
Yeah.
Because it's not about feeling where you're at as a full. It's about like the competition.
It depends
of it.
On
it's
the
about
pie,
past
too.
It definitely depends.
Like,
marathon training is going to kick in.
Like if it was one of those like lemon light pie. Like
yeah,
lemon,
that'd be way
meringue.
Easier.
Way
yeah.
easier than
we
that.
Had some people say that we should have multiple pies and they get like progressively or differently difficult.
Yeah.
There was an idea to do mini pies if we want to do more
Ooh,
than one pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be more fun. Yeah, but it's a lot of crust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The important thing is that you guys get us to $2,500 a
month. Yeah, so we
and then we will decide on the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
How else are we going to buy those pies?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much.
Give us your pie money. And bye.
Happy
bye.
Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.